This is KDNK Carbondale Community Access Radio, Glenwood Springs, Carbondale, the Roaring Fork Valley, and beyond. My name is Raleigh, and I'm so proud to welcome Jill Rubin to our studio, our special guest host for today's public affairs program. Welcome, Jill.
Thank you, Raleigh, and thank you, KDNK. I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm even more excited to talk with you about our guest today. Our conversation is local, it's fresh, and it is very, very intriguing. Today, we've got Jose Miranda from TT Rocking Bar Dairy and Aaron Cuseo from Aaron's Acres Farm. Welcome, guys.
Thank Hello. You. Thank you for the invite.
You're welcome. And I just have to make a special announcement. Aaron and Jose have brought into the world 2 weeks ago a baby boy. He is here with us today. He's sound asleep, and I wanted to make sure that he got a shout out. So we'll be seeing him this summer at all the farmers markets. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we get started, I wanted to start with you, Jose. The water buffalo. It's unique. It's intriguing. Why? Why? What is it about that water buffalo for your life? Is it love? Is it passion? Is it in your DNA? We don't see too many of them when we drive up and down Highway 82.
Yeah, it's a real passion from a very young age that attracted me to these animals. And it goes beyond their capacity to produce really healthy food. That's really the bottom line. But beyond that, they're just a really smart animal, a good companion, a solid farm animal. It's actually the number one relied upon species all over the world. So it is very unique to Colorado. It is new to Colorado. It's somewhat new to the United States. But it's being domesticated for as long as cattle has been domesticated for.
And you breed them, is that correct?
That's right. So I have a small herd that I breed for the purpose of milk production.
For just milk production.
So I have, the water buffaloes are known for their strong capabilities. One is the milk production, the beef being the second, and the third one is their capacity to do work. That one has fallen behind a little bit over the years since the industrialization and since tractors have been adopted all over the farms, but they used to be relied upon heavily for plowing fields and move heavy loads.
And right here in Carbondale, or I should say Colorado, is it conducive to them? Is the weather and the altitude, how does that play into raising a healthy buffalo?
Well, raising the healthy animals is all based on the diet. So having a healthy diet is really what they need, as well as some basic protection from the elements, you know, shade in the summer, shelter in the winter, healthy food, healthy water. So they have the same challenges that any other species will have been introduced to our environment, the same as cattle did when they were introduced years ago. Chickens, goats, you name it, they all have gone through that. And through the process of natural selection, we go and select for some of the genes that show strong resistance to the cold weather. That happens to be the biggest hurdle, the biggest obstacle. Although water buffaloes are naturally evolved for tropical environments, they are resistant to cold weather, and they're being bred in Bulgaria, Italy, Canada, the UK. So we're not the only place that had these kind of extreme cold weathers where they're being bred.
And what can we expect? What is going to come out of it for the consumer or for us locals here? Where will we be able to buy it? And what are you hoping for? What's the goal with your breed?
Well, the very best milk there is available. So water buffalo milk is the queen of milk. There's no other like it. And it's especially amazing for the human consumption. So it's the closest there is to the human milk. There is no issues related to lactose intolerance when you have water buffalo milk consumption. It also is thicker, it's denser milk, so you have higher yield of milk when you go to produce milk or yogurt. So that's where the difference is. As far as the animal and their performance in this environment and how they can outcompete any other milk breed is due to the fact that they can perform at excellent levels just relying on native grass. They don't need the extra input of grains that the dairy industry relies upon heavily to keep those cows producing. So the water buffalo has a very strong digestive system, so they can really break down these grass that have, they are very low palatable, so they're not, and are not very easy to digest. They can really break it down because they have higher bacteria in the rumen, so they can break that down and really produce a high quality. Basically, you're transforming low quality forage into high quality milk and beef.
And so a mother giving it to her child, would you consider that safe? Would
yes.
you consider that
so
it's
we're
not pasteurized?
Well, there's obviously the consumer choice between the raw and the pasteurized, you know, and there's a lot of arguments in favor and against, and that's basically comes down to being a personal choice. But the reality is that nowadays the dairy industry is really struggling to produce a milk that really meets high quality
yes.
standards that
yeah.
we as consumers are wanting, and that we are looking to provide our children with a really healthy product. The milk should be, you know, above standards, and it's not the case. So I'm trying to produce, although it's starting very, very small herd, is the only source of really good, healthy milk that is going to be available for the public.
And are you going to bring it to public? Are you going to bring it to market?
Yeah, so right now I'm in the stage of building up the herd, and that okay. requires two main efforts on my part. One is the training of the animals for a different kind of handling. So these animals, I believe in the power of attraction that is stronger than the power of repelling something. So when we're, the traditional way of pushing animals, cattle, is basically push them in a direction you want them to go, but is not as efficient as standing in the place you want them to go to and call them to you. So that's the way I have my animals trained. So with this kind of handling, it allows me to run the operation more efficient. I need less people. I don't need the horses. I can do the work in a smaller amount of time because the animals listen to what I want them to do. That's the first thing that I'm working on right now. The second part is building up the herd with the right genes for milk production.
And how does that work?
So that's a challenge at the moment because nobody's really doing it in the U.S. for milk production, just a handful of people in the U.S. As far as I know, there's somebody in Texas, somebody in New Jersey, Wisconsin, and California. That's about it. So as far as finding animals that are already trained for milking and that are actually have the genetic capacity for milk production, that's the challenging part. So I relied upon genetic selection. I relied upon artificial insemination. The bulls that I have are half Italian breed, so they have done really good work in developing the breed for milk production. So with that kind of work, I know that the animals that I'm having in the future are going to be better milk producers, and it takes time. So right now I'm probably 2 to 3 years away to really having any kind of product in the market.
Oh.
At the meantime, you know, Colorado law allows for the sale of raw milk through milk shares. So I have a very small amount of people, and it's going to be growing every year until I'm at a stage that I can have actually a brand of cheese for the market. Until then, just selling directly to consumers.
And that's that buffalo mozzarella that we hear about, the gooey, white, flavorful, best cheese ever.
The original mozzarella cheese is made out of water buffalo. That's right. You
it
can
is.
Make it out of any milk, but the original, and there's a good reason for it. So the buffalo milk is pure white. It doesn't have that little bit of a yellowish color. It doesn't have the beta carotene
uh-huh.
protein. The buffalo's already transformed that protein into vitamin B. So it's higher in vitamin A. Sorry, it's higher content in vitamin A.
In vitamin A.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so we're talking before you can actually get out there and all of us have availability to it, it's a couple of years down the road. Right now, how many do you have in your herd?
Right now, I have 18 animals. Most
18?
Of them, yeah, most of them are young. Only 5 calves this year. I had 2 last year. So the growth is exponential, but very slow.
But very slow. And so now it's about caring for them and training them. That's the word you use, training them.
Yeah.
So then in the couple of years when they're ready to produce product is when they'll be
yeah.
ready to do that. And right now it's caring for them and loving them. They're your family. You trust them enough around all the children?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I've seen
yes,
posts.
Definitely.
I've seen posts on air and say she's sitting on top of them and they look very, very gentle.
Oh, yeah. She's been around the herd, you know, pregnant and with a brand newborn, and the buffaloes are just gentle and curious.
Do you think your children will go into the business? Are they loving your...
Oh, they like it, but they have their different passions and the different calling, which is very beautiful to see as well. They're
and
just
this
supportive.
Is your family background, am I correct?
Yes.
This
yeah, I grew up in a water buffalo ranch.
In Venezuela.
Yeah. That's and some of my family still continue to ranch water buffaloes. My dad sold the ranch that I grew up in. He sold due to the political situation that is happening. It's just very difficult to produce, to absolutely do anything. So it's been a struggle, and production has basically stopped in all sectors of Venezuela.
Oh, really? So that's yeah. sad to hear.
So I've been fortunate to have a place where I can bring that knowledge and share these wonderful products with the community.
With the community. How long have you been here?
I've been here for 16 years, on and off. Yeah.
And you're
my oldest son that is 16 was born in Eagle County. My daughter that is 13 was born in Pekin County. And Wake, the brand new born in Garfield County.
So the product that we're most going to be looking for is the dairy out of it. Is that correct?
Yes. There's already beef in the market. You can find it in the local store, Mana Foods. They're selling some of the beef. Also, local restaurants in Carbondale, Aspen, and Basalt are going to be running some specials on water buffalo beef.
And what would that taste like to the...
It's,
what can you compare it to?
It's a little bit similar to elk, somewhere between elk and bison. It's a very lean, low in cholesterol, so it's a very healthy beef.
Well, you are the water buffalo man for sure. And you are here in Carbondale, is that correct?
Yes.
And where can people find out more or come to see you, or where would you guide them? What's the information, Jose?
So the name of the business is directly related to the brand. So there's a way that you read the brands in Colorado. So when you have that half circle on the bottom, it's the rocker. So that's the rocking. Or if you have a bar, it's just how the brand is built when you brand the cattle, right? So my brand is the Rocking TT Bar. So it has the rocker, two T's,
so it's
and
not
a bar.
TT.
No, it's the Rocking TT Bar for the milk production. Well, and it makes a smile face in the brand per se.
And people can come see you?
So you'll find us on Instagram. You can find pictures. You can reach out through Instagram and see more pictures of the animals. As far as visits, or you can schedule it, we charge for the visits because it takes a lot of our time to make that happen.
But it's something...
And look for the beef at Mana Foods. If you're interested in the milk shares, reach out through Instagram.
Reach out through Instagram?
Yeah.
Okay, milk shares. Well, I wanted to segue by saying I'm looking forward to the gooey, gooey mozzarella cheese coming off and then sort of putting it, mixing it all with those greens that are going to come from somebody else's farm. So, Aaron, let's now talk about the produce. How's spring going for you, and what do we have to look forward to this summer in the markets?
Spring is going well, keeping myself very busy. I'll be at Dandelion Days selling tomato starts, pepper starts, and just kind of getting people excited about produce. I have a few CSA shares available, but I'm selling to local restaurants and look forward to everything coming out. So,
are you two sharing the same land? Do you...
Oh, it's the dream one day so that we're not driving all up and down the valley taking care of all the chores. So we'd like to make that happen, but, you know, everything has to fall into place. And so at the moment, no.
At the moment, no.
Yeah.
But that's probably down the road in a little
hopefully.
Bit. And anything in particular that's coming out of the farm that we should know about as far as greens? I mean, we've had a great winter. I think we're going to have a great spring and summer and hopefully some water and...
Hopefully.
Nothing
right now. It's, you know, everything's just getting started. I'm looking forward to this next new moon so we can get out and do a lot of planting. I'm excited for this year, just the abundance. I have a really good feeling about this year. I mean, it's feeling like summer already, but we're getting decent precipitation. So I'm very hopeful.
And are you in a greenhouse or are you out?
Yeah, in a greenhouse.
You're in a greenhouse.
And then a couple small ones, a couple big ones, just kind of making it all work.
Well, there was something quite interesting or curious that new moon. Talk to me about that. What does that mean? New moon.
Well, we'll put a lot of stuff in the ground. We're kind of just getting through a couple hurdles right now, but that's when we'll put all of our potatoes in the ground, corn, get a lot of our squash started, kind of plant for the summer. It's like our big planting day.
And that is coming up? That hasn't happened yet?
No, it hasn't happened yet. But it's just the fear of frost for some things. Like greens can be in the ground, radishes, stuff like that. A lot of spring crops can be planted already. But some of the things like, you know, zucchini and
more
winter
delicate.
Squash. Yeah, more delicate, just not quite ready. So we're just hanging off on those for a bit, and then we'll put everything in the ground.
Are you going to be at the farmers markets again this summer?
Yeah, so I'll definitely be in Basalt, and I'm hoping to be in Carbondale, but they haven't made their selections like official yet. They accepted applications. I haven't been in the Carbondale market before, the Wednesday market, so fingers crossed, hoping to be here. It'll make it easier with the baby to be so close to my house, yeah. But we'll see.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Let's talk about the two of you. So you came together. And was that a working partnership? Was that a curious part? You've got this, I've got that. We're both farmers, we're ranchers.
All I really had was a lot of cow manure for her.
Yes.
Do your buffalo need what Aaron's growing?
They had the cow manure. That's what she wanted.
Yeah. Yeah, he saved a whole bunch of seeds and brought them to me. And then I met the buffalo, and I just had to hang out every day with the buffalo. And we kind of overlap with our pigs.
I call them
our pigs now.
You have pigs as mm-hmm. well.
Yeah, we have pigs, mainly just to put in some work in the garden and do some tilling and take care of weeds in places that are harder to deal with. And then they get stuff from the garden.
Oh.
So even now, like, I bring them treats, winter squash from last year. So every day I bring them a couple squash and then I cuddle them in the sunshine.
They also get the leftover grain from the Roaring Fork Brewery.
Oh. Very nice.
Yeah. And the pigs are also part of what fills the big picture is being able to feed them some of the byproduct from the dairy operation. So when we make cheese, there's some waste that goes to the pigs as well.
Oh, it does. Mm-hmm.
The whey does.
Mm-hmm. That.
So they do work in the garden. They help out with the dairy operation. So they got work to do in the farm.
And are you going to grow your herd, Jose? Is it going to be more than what you've got now? You have four calves. What did you tell me?
Oh, this year it's going to be five calves.
Five calves.
One was born already. Really, the big obstacle is the access to land.
The access to land.
Yeah. So, you know, not only is scarce, but it's also very expensive. So that's something that needs to be looked at in the big picture. You know, I think we have spent a good amount of time in the past talking about what, you know, a renewable energy future looks like. We have spent a lot of time talking about the need for affordable housing. But I don't really think that we spend a lot of time talking about what the big picture of food production looks like. Mm-hmm. Although there is already a lot of resources allocated to this as far as land that is already destined, you know, for eternity into agriculture, locked into agriculture. There is money,
locally.
You know, allocated.
You're
yeah, locally.
Locally.
Yeah, but as far as really organizing this effort into something that takes priority, how to make these, you know, all these resources really start producing local food for everybody.
And for you in particular, what kind of acreage, how much land are you talking about to have the big dream, to have the big picture, to really produce the type of quantity that, you know, would make it very successful in breeding these animals?
Yeah, we're talking about the 1,000 acres, around 1,000 acres, somewhere okay. around there. And, you know, that's a number that can never be put as a fixed number because it depends on the quality of the grassland, water available. You know, there's a lot of variables, but to have a herd that is capable of producing, you know, and set up a small industry, we're talking about something like that. So accessing that kind of land, it is a challenge. So I have some land partners that I lease land and I rotate my herd, move them with a livestock trailer from one property to another, and that's kind of how I manage to make it happen at the moment.
Not the old-fashioned get on a horse and move them?
No, down the highway will be a little hard.
Oh, it's the highway. Okay, yeah, that would be a right? little hard. Be exciting yeah,
so
for right, us.
Yeah, so this weekend I'm going to be moving the animals from Carbondale over to Old Snowmass. So as it gets warmer, I go up the valley, and it gets colder after coming down the valley again. So it's also, you know, following where the grass is an ideal state as well.
Are they all healthy? Have you lost any of them?
I have only lost one small animal that got laid on because they really stay close together as a group. And one of those really cold nights, this calf got laid on, and that's what happened to it. But as far as them staying healthy, it's been quite remarkable how good they've done even in the middle of the winter. Even a small calf that was born fairly early, she did really good. So I'm very surprised. Actually, the biggest health concern is the same as it was in the tropics, that is parasites. So here, you know, they got a lot of ticks, a lot of summer flies. That's still the biggest health issue, which is interesting.
And how long do the calves stay with the mothers, their mothers?
So I keep the calves with the mom all the time. So I don't separate them in the sense that having them in two groups. I separate them at night, so they can have the milk in the morning, but they grow up with the herd. They grow up with the mom because that's the only way they can learn to be a buffalo is by being with the buffaloes. And they nurse, so they get all the milk in the afternoon. They drink all the milk, and in the morning, I milk three of the teats, and they get one of the teats. So I do not jeopardize the growth of the calf for the sake of milk production. To me, especially now, more important is those animals to develop healthy. So I also... What animals I milk and how much I milk is going to depend also what the age of the animal is and what calf they have. So if they have a heifer calf that I'm interested in have them grow and develop healthy, I'm not going to be milking those mom, especially if it's a heifer. If it's a bull calf, then I'm going to be milking those calves more than I would the mom of a heifer calf. Explain myself?
Yes.
So the growth and the health of the animal is more important than the immediate gain for milk sales.
The definition of sustainability in our culture, right? This is what we're all trying to do. Big picture now. Product is 2 years away, but you have a small amount right now that you call a co-op. Is that right? What did you call
just
it?
Just like milk shares. Milk shares.
And is there a possibility for people to connect to that now, or are you all signed up and filled with that?
As the animals start giving birth, there will be more milk available. So right now we're filled, but probably in June, July, there will be more calves being born. There will be some shares available.
Yeah.
Now, so reach out and stay on the waiting list.
Stay on the waiting list is your best advice.
And at the moment, we're offering the milk shares through my CSA program as like an add-on because I partner with a bunch of local farms to offer like a fruit share from Paonia, eggs from Missouri Heights, chickens from Missouri Heights, water buffalo beef, our pork, and the milk shares. And so it's only a few shares that are available, but that way it's less work because I'm already distributing, I'm already delivering, and then we don't have to do extra distribution. It just goes with the vegetables each week.
And so where can our listeners go for that, Erin, to find out more about your particular?
So they could reach out to me about the CSA program.
Yes.
Via Facebook or Instagram, Erin's Acres Farm. And and just... Let me know if they're interested in that.
And start communicating with you through there. Okay. I hope everybody got that. That is the way to get more information on Erin's CSA program. And it's going to be the same way with Jose, correct? It's going to be through Erin. Through Erin. Okay.
Yeah, through Erin. Now that that is summertime, that her CSAs are moving. So when does your CSA start? When's the first week?
So the CSA starts the second week of June and then runs through the last week of October.
Okay.
The milk shares won't be available for all of those weeks. And we'll know more at the time how long. It'll just sort of have to be a week by week thing. And then, you know, we'll figure it out, like, you know, pay as you go each month, depending on, you know, which calves are born and how much milk is being produced.
And you'll post all that so people can follow and take note of it and watch for it. And then our buffalo mozzarella, once again, is not going to be for a couple of years. Is that correct?
That's right. And you're going to have to fight with the local restaurants for
it. Or with
it.
Me.
And we're going to have to fight with the local restaurants. So it won't be coming to the consumers at our local co-ops or the farmers markets. We won't see you there with a big
no,
igloo.
Probably not. No, most likely at the beginning, it's going to be directly to restaurants. So at the moment, yeah, there's a greater demand than supply.
Of course there is.
So
I would love to be in that demand.
I'm unfortunately not there yet, and it's just a matter of smart growth. You know,
smart growth.
Even if I could just go and buy 50 animals and somebody offered me 1,000 acres right now, it just wouldn't be the right move. I need those animals to be trained properly and to have the right genetics to build upon. Otherwise, I'm going the wrong direction.
I got it. Yeah. I got it. So we're just about to wrap up, and I want to give the two of you individually the last words that you want to say, the words that you want all of our listeners to know that's coming up for summer, or what you want in, what you want them to know and how they can get in touch, which we already talked about many times. But I just want to make sure everybody's following you.
I just like to remind everyone that we have amazing food locally. You know, like we have a lot of produce growers. We have a lot of meat producers. There's a lot available locally, and if they reach out and go to the farmers market, they can meet their farmers and actually get connected and, you know, help us all. It helps the community, it helps the farmers, and we just need that continued support of the consumers.
And you're going to get it. I'm number one fan. That's why you're sitting here. Jose.
I would say that there is a very small group of local farmers that can be successful only in the rate that locals start really supporting local agriculture. And I would say, no matter if you're a vegetarian or a meat lover, if you really start paying attention to where you're getting your food from, you'll be quite terrified. So part of the reason why we do this, not only do we lobby in and outdoors, being with the animals, being producing food, we also do this because we just cannot go and feed ourselves with what we see coming out on the shelves from industrial agriculture.
Of course, Don.
So
and you're
that's
educating.
What it comes down to.
You're educating the people. You're you know, we're all doing this as a community, and it's very, very important to the well-being of not only your five children, but everybody else who lives here. I want to thank both of you very much for coming in. We look forward to the summer. Aaron, I look forward to shopping with you in Basalt. And Jose, as soon as that cheese comes out, I'll be at that restaurant. You'll just have to tell me.
I'll tell you where it's at. Thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
Thank you so much. I am Jill Rubin. This is KDNK. It has been my pleasure to be speaking with you, and I hope you had as much fun as I did. Until next time, take really good care of yourselves.